Hello, friend, and welcome to the podcast of Canaan Christian Center, featuring the dynamic ministry of Apostle Craig Banks and Pastor Cheryl Banks. Set your heart to hear a life-changing and empowering word from God. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We're going to continue talking to you, sharing with you from the subject, A Soldier's Story. Amen. Before you're seated, high five a couple of people and say, you're going to be a good soldier. A good soldier. Amen. We've shared this, we began sharing a few weeks ago about this subject matter, A Soldier's Story, and I've not been able to shake it. And the Spirit of God keeps revealing more and more things to me. There are too many of us who have given our lives to the Lord and we've just satisfied with being in the kingdom. You know, I know I'm a child of God and that's the extent of it. But you cannot afford to camp out. You cannot afford to be passive. Because we have an adversary. Say we have an adversary. That doesn't mean that we walk around afraid, but you got to know that there is an adversary. There are demonic spirits that hate God and hate you because you, all of us, were created in God's image and likeness. The thing that terrifies the enemy is that you will discover truth and you will begin to walk in it. And if you walk in truth, then you will disrupt everything that the enemy has taken or has control of that he has no business having control of. People are in poverty because they don't know. The devil banks on people not knowing. Now, is it me? Is it cold in here? Okay, y'all got my bones aching. I had that birthday the other day and I was glad, but you know, there are some things that remind you. Yep. Don't y'all laugh. I might be buying y'all a bottle of Geritol. Help keep your blood warm. Amen. Hallelujah. But the enemy wants to hold whole families and people groups in a place of being hostages. And if we don't realize that the enemy strategizes, if we don't realize that, then we will live relaxed. And in living relaxed, we won't think of anything or anybody but ourselves. And people can go under because you either know the truth and won't share it, or you don't know it and don't care, but your life was supposed to intersect with theirs, and all they can get from you is, I don't know and I don't care. You'll have to answer for that. Yeah, nobody lives to themselves. Amen. So we talked to you about that there are too many Christians who are transient. They don't last long because they're not committed to being steadfast. Say, I'm a soldier.
I'm a soldier.
Now, being a soldier means your life is not your own. If you're born again, your life is not your own. Now, we're free. God made us free moral agents. We can choose to do whatever we want to do. But when the dust settles, you belong to him. He bought you. Amen. And we got to live our lives that way. Are y'all here? Some of you, I see shade starting to be pulled down. I don't want to hear it. Well, you're going to hear it. Amen. So we got to be steadfast. Steadfast denotes being seated. There is a place that we are to be seated in. Being seated has to do with our, it refers to our morals being fixed. Fixed by God. So there's no question about where I stand. Because I'm a soldier. Say, I'm a soldier. Not being steadfast as a soldier will erase your ability to speak with authority. We got a lot of folks huffing and puffing, tell the devil to loose here. But we're not steadfast, so he doesn't have to listen. You tell the devil to get to stepping, and he doesn't move. By the time the conversation is over with, you're stepping. It shouldn't be that way. And I want you to go over to Romans chapter 13, and I want to take a look at something. And I want to get to a point. Romans chapter 13, because every soldier has a uniform. If you don't know your uniform and what you should have on at the given time that you need to have it on, you're out of uniform and you're disrespectful. We got saints that are disrespectful toward God because we won't put on the uniform. Hello. See, in America, America is part of the Western Hemisphere. We vote on everything. If we don't like something that God has said, then we want to vote on it. That's why some places you can't find the Lord in these churches. They voted him out. There are denominational groups that have taken hymn books that had the songs about the blood of Jesus. They took it out. Took the songs about the blood out. And the question was asked, why? Because it might scare the children. Well, just throw the whole thing away. Because you have no salvation without the blood. And so that makes as much sense as somebody going into one of the branches of the military and saying, well, I don't think we need to wear this kind of uniform. We ought to just have on jeans. And they're going to change the order. You didn't set the order, so you can't change it. And so to be modern, we want to adopt a lot of things that make things comfortable for me. Just like, again, in the military. When you first get in, they throw them guys in the seat, say, how do you want your hair cut? Well, I want a little bit off the side. Okay. Next. There's one style. Off. I even went to work at a place here locally, and I had, you know, let my beard come out. I'm feeling rather distinguished. Go to this job. And they said, oh, you can't have facial hair. I said, oh, I'm going to have mine. And they didn't bat an eye. They said, if you're going to work here, you ain't going to have it. Now I'm faced with a choice. They don't got to tell me nothing. But I need a job. If you want to stop hell from rolling in on your life and your family and your descendants, you're going to have to bring your life in alignment with God's kingdom. Amen. Because you're a soldier. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a soldier. You don't have to turn there, but over in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about put on the whole armor of God, which insinuates that you can put part of it on. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation. And it's given the descriptive terms that in the time that it was written, the Roman soldier was the soldier. That's what they patterned, they looked at because of how they were dressed. They had a helmet, and it was equated to the helmet of salvation. Then he had on a breastplate to protect the vitals, the breastplate of righteousness. Their loins were girt about with truth. If you don't know that you're righteous, you will have an unrighteous mentality. If you understand the terms of your salvation, you will never have your thinking straight. And so the enemy, that's like having a helmet off so you can always play with your head. Your loins girt about with truth. You got to remember that if it's not girded about with truth, it's girded about with a lie. Whatever your loins are girded about with, then that's your reproductive area. That's what you're reproducing. If you don't like what you're seeing in your life, check your loincloth. What have you girded yourself with? Then your feet are to be covered with the gospel of peace. If your life does not have peace and peace, those the shoes that the Roman soldiers wore, they were weapons too. There are a lot of battles you can win. Did y'all turn the heat on? Did they turn the heat on? It just got hot. Oh, that's one of them moments north of 40. They could use their shoes that represent the peace. They could use it as a weapon because in some situation, those shoes had spikes on them. And they could break the enemy's leg. So the peace of God, if you learn how to walk in it, you can break a leg of your adversary. Which really is one of the meanings when the scripture says bind. When you bind the enemy, also you can be breaking their leg. If you break their leg, they don't got nothing to stand on. Then he says take the shield of faith. Shield of faith. I feel like I got to do a Bible study. Shield of faith. If you were 6'4", you didn't have a little bitty shield that somebody 5'6" would use. Or vice versa. The shield of faith fits you. Your shield of faith covers you. And you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, in your mouth. And you ain't standing there, I got the sword of the Spirit. You better say what the word says. Which brings us to Romans 13, because this is a part of armor that we don't look at. Romans 13, and look at verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this. Everybody say, do this. Knowing the time. We don't do it because we don't know, we don't understand the time we're in. If I live in my own little world, it's my time. And I've set the schedule for everything. There's a whole lot of stuff going on outside your world that's coming for your world. And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, so it's possible to be a soldier who's asleep. This place I used to work at, you know, we worked all these rotating shifts, you know, 3 days you might be from 7 to 3:30, and then 3 days you'll be from 3 until 11:30. Then you get sprinkled in there and you got from 11 to 7:30. Your body don't know what it's going to do. Get off early in the morning. Close the curtain so you can go to sleep and your body be saying, you can't fool me. It's morning and I'm not going to sleep. And at night, wasn't nothing on TV. And somewhere between 2 and 4, your body shuts down. And they told me, they say, Brother Banks, we know you're a preacher and everything, but Brother Banks, you can't go to sleep. Because you've been hired to be awake to do this job. But I'm going to do this for you. So what is that? you go to sleep, you got a job. But when you wake up, you fire. We got a lot of saints. You know you in. You're all right with the law, but you sleep. All kind of stuff happen when you sleep. Oh, I sleep light. You don't sleep that light. You catch something. You caught the noisy stuff. But the tiptoe bandits you didn't catch. And the enemy, part of his strategy is to lure you to a place of sleep, inactivity. This ain't going the way I thought, but. So do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. You had your chance to goof off. You had your chance to be ignorant. Now is daytime. You have a responsibility to get keyed up, to get dressed up, to get to your place, to stand in your place, and do what God called you to do. Are y'all here or not? He said the night that's far spent. It's daytime. And in the daylight, you can see if the button is missing on the uniform. In the daylight, you can see their eyes closed. You can see them, but you can be seen. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us, say us, cast. So that means there could be a company of 500, but 10 are doing this. They're asleep. That 10 can be openings for the adversary to take out the rest of the 490. So it's us. Soldiers are responsible for the rest of us. See, in the church, we got our little groupies. We got our picks and chooses. Oh, we don't fellowship with them. Okay, when did you get license to cut somebody out the body of Christ? There are those that think if you didn't come through us, then you're not legitimate. I've had people that ask me, where'd you get that information from? It's a revelation. Where you get it from? Where else do you get a revelation from? If Christ can call you and he chooses to call me, then you can't erase the call. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of what? Oh, soldiers doing the work of darkness. Soldiers of Christ doing the works of darkness and have to be told to cast it off. Stop doing it. This ain't too popular, huh? Soldiers of Christ. If you're a soldier of Christ, you're a soldier of the cross. That means you came to the place where he hung and you died too. But he was raised by the power of God, so were you. But you were raised to be a soldier, to walk in his way. But he's having to tell the soldiers to cast off the works of darkness. Therefore, watch this. Ask your neighbor, say, is that in your Bible? Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor? Oh, so the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet covered in the gospel of peace, a shield of faith, sword of the spirit. That is called the armor of light. But before you can put it on, he said, you got to cast off the works of darkness. You can't have darkness operating under the light. That's why the devil can sit up in churches. That's why witches can sit up in the pews and chant curses. Y'all don't believe it happened. I will not spend my life running up behind somebody trying to make sure. Hey, they practice witch. You be running around chasing a witch every week. Just walk in the light. And the light, the glory of God, will dispel everything dark. The problem is, we just want the preacher or a couple of other folks to walk in the light, and you bring the word, you bless me, and I live like I want to live. It don't work that way. It is us. It's too much. God expects something from us. Here's why. We fail to realize something. God is after cities. That's what he's after. We got churches in our cities. But most don't understand that they're soldiers. Pastor Cheryl kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, even if you had a banquet. We used to being religious. And we think if we do all this spiritual antics, come on, if you were going out on a date, come on, can we be straight? If you were going out on a date and your date started doing all that, you'd be like, you got something to deal with the date, but now you got all these other folks looking. And they looking at you. You ain't shaking, but you with them. And you can't denounce them because that's your spouse. What would you like to order? The waiter or the waitress would run. They'd be like, they're crazy. That's the way we have portrayed ourselves as the body of Christ. A bunch of quacks. Touch somebody's hand. You feel that? Feel what? What? That's religion. Did you know religion is a part of darkness? He said, cast that stuff off. Okay, y'all trying to play me. Religion is a part of darkness. He said, cast it off. He said, cast off the works of darkness. Works? Why would he say works? Y'all pull up Galatians 5. I think it's about verse 20, 22, somewhere around. Because Apostle Paul talks about the works of the flesh. Yes. Works. Yes. He said they are manifest. Yes. We're talking about soldiers. How is a soldier? Why is it a soldier got to be told to cast off stuff that you ain't supposed to be having? He talks about the works of the flesh. A part of darkness. The works. Cast it off. I need my glasses. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Keep going. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Keep going. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. I mean, it just go on and on and on. And he said, cast this stuff off. He said, cast it off. Wait a minute. You can't cast off what you're embracing. Here's what we like to do. I want to put on, give me one of those little cloth things. Ha! This is the anointing. This is the armor of light. Bless God, God done called me. I want y'all to know how spiritual and powerful I am. When I lay hands on you, you're going to fall. And before you hit the ground, it'll feel like you fell into a bed of pillows. But I got secrets. You don't know my secrets. Because you just see my presentation. Oh, when I wave my hand, can I tell y'all something? I have been in services where men and women of God, the power of God, they had a grace on their life. They went like this to a section in the name of Jesus, and the whole section fell. The middle section, they standing, and they did like this, and they fell over the seat in front of them. It's like, wow. But after it's all went, they slipping, tipping, and dipping. It's like, whoa. God? How is that? He said, the gift works. Because the gift is from me. It's the responsibility of the soldier to cast off the works of darkness. And if I don't, I'm functioning like this. All of this is dark. And I'm going to cloak it in light. At some point, while I don't realize it, the light is fading. And I'm operating in the dark and I don't think nobody sees me. This is not putting no heavy on nobody. This is a slap in the face. You're a soldier. Say, I'm a soldier. Take your wavered neighbor by the hand. Look him in the eye and say, you are a soldier. And you have responsibilities. Woo. So God is after cities. And the reason he deals with us, and he deals with the body of Christ. There's one body. He deals with us because he has strategically put all of us where he has placed us to impact a city. Think of it. If we all put on the armor of light, light dispels darkness. Let me read this. Go back to Romans. If we all have on the armor of light and we're in a dark place, that light is going to light up that dark place. It's like being in a big room that's pitch black. And one person, there's a bunch of us there, but one person has a candle and it's lit. It gives light. But it doesn't dispel all the darkness in the room. But what if everybody else got a candle and that candle is lit? Now all the candles, the room full of people, and all the lights are on. You dispel greater darkness. That's the church. We're trying to present light as something outward instead of being. So we're not dispelling darkness in our cities. We've been adding to it. Is this making sense? We got soldiers. Somebody else may not see my secrets, but the king does. Remember, we read in Timothy. He says, so that we might please him that enlisted us as a soldier. Oh. So we're going to have to be inspected by the general. And the general says, I'm not pleased with that. This too much for y'all? Y'all want to hear about Daniel and the lion den, Jonah and the whale? Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. Everybody say properly.
Properly.
Or decently, as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. Revelry and drunkenness, I only want what I want. That's a party spirit. And anybody remember the days of BC and you party, you live for the party. You could be very irresponsible because of the party. You spent money that you didn't need to spend so that you could be a part of the party. And you didn't want the party to end because when it ended, reality gonna hit you right between the eyes that you spent money you had no business spending. And ain't nobody coming to your rescue to help you pay your bill. So you broke another week. I didn't say you were doing it now. I said the days of BC, before Christ, before you got saved. So at least you could say is amen. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. Wait a minute. These are things that manifest themselves, but they are parked in the heart. Lewdness? That means I do what I want. That's sexual stuff. I'm talking about a soldier. I do what I want to. I live the way I want to live. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows you're a soldier and you're not pleasing him. Let us walk properly. This ain't going over too well for y'all. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Oh. If you're messy, how are you going to be a soldier of the cross? You're trying to keep alive what he killed. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Making provision, it actually refers to this, folks, for planning. Premeditated. You know when you've been waiting to go to a particular place. Anybody, you ain't got to raise your hand. Anybody ever been in church? And the preacher was going a little bit too long. And you had already made up your mind before you got to church. You going to your favorite restaurant, go have your favorite meal, and with a big old glass of iced tea. Oh, I can't wait for church to be over. Then you start looking at your watch. He done went over 10 minutes. Oh, Lord. He gone 15 minutes. Oh, Jesus. You ain't hearing nothing he's saying. You just want to shut up because you have premeditated a meal. And I can't wait to get to that place where I get the meal that I've been waiting on. That's what you've been lusting for. And that I lust for is stronger than the word of God. I don't want to hear the word of God. I want my meal. And as soon as the preacher said, we're getting ready to leave, you jump up and you run out. Start the car up. Fly to your favorite place. Order your favorite meal. When they put it in front of you, say, oh, baby. And then you partake. Now I'm satisfied. And what I said was, God, you can't satisfy me. This. Hello. I'm seen. Help us, Lord. I have seen, Miss Maddie, chessboards in front of saints. And the enemy's on the opposite side. Made a series of moves and sits back and laughs and says, checkmate. I have captured your king. But you're the one sitting on the other side. You and the king are one. So he's saying, I captured you. Instead of us showing forth, for we have captured the enemy. The enemy's parading saints around. I've captured them. They were called to be world shakers. Now I have them in a salt shaker. That ain't funny. Lord, let me know. He said, son, it's time for the soldiers to repent. Everybody. Everybody. Can I share something with you? I mean, I need about 5, maybe 8 minutes. No, seriously. This ain't the other one, you know, where 15 of y'all raise your hand and I got, you know, about an hour. Go over to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 10. I ain't going to read all of it to you, but you can read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Well, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Talking about the Old Testament Israelites that came out of Egypt, God brought them out. They came out because of a blood covenant. They killed the lamb, poured the blood in the basin, took hyssop, and sprinkled that blood over the doorpost. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. But he said, take that lamb, roast it, and inside your house, don't come out. Inside the house, eat all the lamb. It's the Passover. Communion is tied to that. They all came out safe and healed and prosperous, going to their promised land. But some of them decided in their heart, I'm not going to believe God. And their life and their words and their actions were against God. And he told Moses, he said, he come against me 10 times. He said, I tell you what, the ones 19 and up, they will not go into the promised land. They'll die here. Wait a minute. These your people. They came out under a blood covenant, protected. But they wouldn't cast off things. And it cost them. Here's where we are, folks. We think, I'm under grace. I can do what I want to. No, you cannot. Verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not. You go back and study about Israel, they were slaves before midnight. When they came out of bondage, God called them soldiers, men of war. What did he learn? You were, yesterday you was a slave. How you learn to be a warrior? God called them who they were. They were slaves and didn't know that they were soldiers. Which brings me to this point. You can be a soldier, a person of war, and you can be for God or against him. But you're a soldier. You got to look at your life. Am I against God or for him? If you're against him, your fight is on. You just lost. How are you going to fight God? Here's what I want you to see. Most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things became our examples. These are your examples. We're soldiers. Here's examples for soldiers to check out. Wait a minute now. Am I in proper alignment? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Nor let us commit. Soldiers, what's going on in secret? Ain't your business. No. That's between you and God. But whatever goes on is going to come out public. It's going to affect everybody. See, we don't want to hear this kind of stuff. And just let me be, let me be, let me be. Your be is killing us. Nor commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. What would happen if a couple of Ananias and Sapphira situations happen? They lied, but their lies was a disruption of the glory of God's manifestation. I want the glory. Get me in order, Lord. Get me in order. Where am I missing it at? Okay. I ain't going to do it. I can't. Verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. All of this ties into all the stuff Old Testament saints went through. When they came into the promised land, when they got outside of it, everybody that was occupying the promised land knew they were coming, and they were terrified. Because as they obeyed God, they rolled up on cities and took the cities. Yes. Took them. Achan, when they got ready to take Jericho, as they took it, Achan took something that God said, don't touch. They get ready to take Ai, which means dung heap. You're supposed to be able to beat them with three, with your eyes closed and hand tied behind your back. 3,000 men died. Joshua went before God, ripped his clothes, said, God, you say, he said, don't come hollering at me. I know what I said. There's sin in the camp. Joshua didn't do it. His elders didn't do it. And they had to go through a scenario to find the one. God said, bring all the heads of the families before, 12 of them. And he said, this one. The other 11 like, woo, thank you, Jesus. And narrowed it all the way down to Achan. And Joshua walked up on him and said, now tell the truth, son. He said, I saw these nice clothes, you know, Hugo Boss suits and, you know, some killer shoes. It looked like they had still had the price tag on it. You know, $5,000 for some shoes. I ain't never had nothing like that. And I took it. You brought destruction upon Israel. People died because of you. So they stoned it. They kept progress in taking cities. And then there was a king of the Moabites. Saw him coming. And sent for Balaam the prophet. Sent for him. Balaam was not a local $3 prophet-line prophet. He was a master of masters. He trained folks in the dark arts. If he sent for a demon, the demon showed up. He could navigate through the spirit realm. A man. And the king said, if you come curse Israel, I'll have a chance of winning. The devil is just banking on winning against the church. How does he get a strategy? Get the saints to do something. And y'all know the story. Balaam tried to curse Israel, and God wouldn't let it. God even intervened. You over here in the spirit realm, you can't curse what I bless. Now get yourself on back over there. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to bless them. And the king of Balak got mad. You blessing them when I'm paying you to curse them. Finally, he said, you can't curse what God has blessed. Wait a minute. Here's what happened. Come here, Tristan. Doctor, this is King Balak. Balaam said, you can't curse what God, I can't curse what God has blessed. But here's what I tell you you're going to do. We're going to come walk with me. What you do is, you ain't got to have me to curse them. Send some of the beautiful women you got. And appeal to the men of war. Because I detect that there are some sensual things going on with the men of war. They like for it to be satisfied. Send those women over there because they have the ability to negotiate to tie up their souls. Do that. You'll see it work. And the Bible says Balaam left. Balak sent women, Moabite women, fine as wine. Them brothers like, what? And they weren't just walking by, they looking at them. Hey. You talking to me? Uh-huh. Me? Uh-huh. Really, me? You ain't playing, are you? Walk by. Where my cloth at? They done ran off with my cloth. walking by. And they do this number. Grab the end of that. You fell for my negotiations. He ain't gonna get you. Come on. She's being drawn. She's being drawn. Now she's in my circle. Her ears are open to what I gotta say. And the reason they're open is there's something there already. So her soul is wide open to my negotiations. But the whole objective is to lure them out. You're light. But now you got to shut it down. To go with these negotiations, you got to take your helmet off. You got to take off. You get what I'm saying? And now you're vulnerable on my territory. This is what he's, thank you. This is what has happened to soldiers. And it hardens the heart. And the Bible says that Moses, God told Moses, deal with them. Take all the leaders. And the ones who have done this, you got to kill them. Here's why. Because they got involved sexually with the Moabite women who were involved sexually with demons. How did they do that? When they worship, you partake of everything that that devil has to offer. Whatever that devil wants you to do, you do it. They were involved in orgies. They were involved in all kinds of things. Men with men, women with women, women with dogs, men with animals, all of that. And that was a sacrifice to the God. And the soldiers of God's kingdom were drawn in and they worshiped with them. So, when he said in Timothy, don't be come entangled. Entangled means, picture this. Anybody ever seen somebody braid hair? It's typically what, like three sections? And you braid it? It's two sections and you. It means to be braided in. It means you allow your soul to get braided into the things of the enemy. It's called darkness. And the devil loves it. It destroys you, destroys other folks, and he gets to run the city. The Lord told me, he said, this is why I want you to minister on the soldier story. In America, we don't see ourselves as soldiers. We lovers, players. I do what I want to do. Free willing. And we bring that into the church. And when God needs something done, we don't see the rationale in it. Well, I got to come every week and pray. Why we got to fast? Why we got to go on a 21-day consecration? Ain't nobody got time for all that. I pray all the time. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. You know you don't even want to die before you wake. Somebody say, you're going to die. You sit up all night crying because you don't want to close your eyes. There's more in us. Y'all stand to your feet. I want to put forth a challenge to everybody. Everybody. You got to find out from the Lord, is my life as a soldier, am I pleasing to you? I have preached some great messages. Lives were changed. Folks were just celebrating. And I get to my office and I say, Lord, did I please you? He says, no. I used to be like, no. What do you mean? Now I know. He doesn't mince words. He said, you said something when I told you don't say it. You said it anyway. That didn't please me. You didn't say something when I said say it. Is he picking on us? No. If what he gives me to preach to you is going to empower you, you don't need me to shortchange you. If you knew that you are responsible for all the lives, regardless of race, in the city you live in, what would you do different? If you knew that your actions could be the determining factor of somebody receiving Christ or going to hell, what would you do different? I've had to come to the place and take it serious. I'm not just a preacher. I'm not in this. We're not in this for money. We don't make money for what we deal with. I'm in it because the king, the general himself, has called me. You are a soldier. Stand at attention. And so are you. Everybody bow your head. I know this word came cutting. It came hitting. But this is what we got to have. So right where you are, the Spirit of God's dealing with you, begin to repent of things. Settle this matter. Whatever's in secret, it's going to come out. God is one who loves us. The Lord loves us. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. But we got to turn from our ways and come to him. Right where you are. Right where you are. You repent. Renounce whatever it is. Let it go. Cast off the works of darkness. There are subtle snares, traps, because the enemy wants to lock your soul down. And if he can lock your soul down, he can control your life. Just repent. Lord, forgive us.
We trust that you were blessed by this dynamic word. Visit us online at ccctr.org and allow Christ to reproduce his heart in you, the heart of the ideal servant.